Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hey everybody, this is Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and listen to some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture and its leadership. Each show we talk with some of the foremost leaders in organizational culture and change and leadership, helping you make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. I'm really excited about today's guest. She's another Transformation Talk Radio host, Tracy L. Clark, and she is this incredible leader and pioneer in the field of body regeneration. Tracy's also the founder of the TLC Community of Extraordinary Living, creator of the Body Regeneration Model, and, as I mentioned, host of the Tracy L. Clark radio show on Transformation Talk Radio. She serves on a global level as a facilitator, a soul specialist, a teacher, a speaker, and humanitarian. And Tracy has a really interesting corporate background, which I'm sure she'll share more with us about. But when she was 26, she sold her first business to a publicly traded company. Wow. She has traveled the world and worked extensively throughout the globe, dealing with corporations in many different capacities. And after years of working in the corporate world, Tracy decided to leave and embark on building her own company. In 2010, the TLC Community of Extraordinary Living was born, and in just a few short years, that company, which began in this tiny room in our house, has grown to service thousands of clients across the world. Welcome, Tracy.
Welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I've been looking forward to this.
We always have fun.
We do. It is fun. And we're gonna be talking about, listeners, talking about energy today and why it matters, which is one of Tracy's huge gifts to the world. And we'll be talking about it on an individual basis, how that impacts companies and cultures, patterns of belief systems, and all sorts of really amazing things. So Tracy, I'm curious, because I don't actually know the story of what was this first business that you started when you were 26?
Oh, it's crazy. It was actually a very large video store, and it was very unique. It was a very different concept up here. So you, depending where you are in North America, Blockbuster would probably be the big one down there, and went into a new area, but did it totally different than how they did it. Because you can imagine, I sold at 26, started it like I was like 20 years old, right? And did it very different. I included their competitors' names up there. I had my advertising. I was having fun with it. They were large, like 10,000 square feet. And anyways, we have another competitor that was up here in Canada. They couldn't get the market share. They tried and they tried. And they came to me and they said, your staff doesn't leave. We can't get the market share. We want to buy you out. So it was a bidding war. And so you imagine, you know, 26 and all this stuff comes up. But I started to realize at that time, in this, because there was a playground in there, we had media that would come. It was fun. It was like made to be an adventure. And when I sold the company, they kept saying, okay, it's really successful. Tell us the points. So I would lay them out. And they're like, we can't do that. And I'm like, well, why? You want the market share, but you don't understand how come I have employee retention. You don't understand why I'm making all this money. I've told you the secret. And they said, we're big box. We can't do that. And I was like, wow, isn't that interesting? You're so afraid to change your model, but you want to buy this. So then I started to realize that they were kind of trying to buy it to like wipe it out, wipe out the competition. But what I thought was so interesting at that point is, okay, you want to buy it to get rid of the competition, but you're not looking at what makes it successful that could make your stores more successful. Now, right. I was extremely grateful at the time. I had the foresight to know that technology was changing. So what you get out at the height, right? I had very good accountants and lawyers around me at the time. They're like, Tracy, you know, you get out at the height. And I'm like, this is not going to last. And we all know where they went at this time, right? Didn't last. Didn't last. And it was where I really started to realize how, after selling my own and then going into other companies, how corporations don't look at people as people, and you know this, and mm-hmm. how they contribute and how you can listen to them and grow your company. And I would start to feel, because I was a feeler back then, big feeler. Now I see, feel, and hear that the company that was created is an energy. It's a life. It's a family. And mm-hmm. although we hear that, how many people actually really embrace it? And I know you see this in your business a lot. They see it as separate, not together.
They see it as separate, not together. And I think that the idea of a company, any sort of organization as a form of energy and an entity is hard for some folks to actually internalize.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And how do you, I was curious, how do you help people start to see, feel, and hear that?
Well, one of the things that I say, people always tell me, because I don't like fluff. I'm very big on that. Like, I'm sorry, you can't really, you hear, oh, spin your chakras, oh, that's nonsense. And it's not that it's nonsense, but what really happens is everybody on the planet's very intuitive, but we are not taught to listen to our environment. And what I would always do, and I would walk into an environment and I would either, I could go in and change that atmosphere the day of the business. So if I'm happy and I'm communicating with people, they will start to pick up on my energy, and you can change somebody's bad day. And we all know this. If you have a boss that comes in and they're miserable, the mm-hmm. whole office changes, right?
Yeah.
Everything changes. So I say to people, if you can start by saying, how do I feel when I get up in the morning? And then how do I feel throughout the rest of my day? Just by doing that, your intuition of your feeling senses, they start to grow and expand. And you actually become more aware of your environment. So if you're going to work and all of a sudden you'll become more aware that if your boss is listening and paying attention and you're working together, things will flow. But if you notice that people come in and they're backbiting or they're gossiping or there's drama, you'll start to feel how your body almost sinks. It feels like, oh, this is really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. the first step to starting to really get in tune and connect to what your body's telling you. And when people start to listen to what their body's telling them, and we're not trained that, nobody trains you how to listen, right? It's like,
right.
No, we just go about our day and run on autopilot.
And one of the things that, you know, it reminds me of is almost 20 years ago when I started coaching, I remember this coaching training to start to notice, you know, what drains you and what energizes you.
Yeah.
And then have people actually, you know, start, or I remember even doing it, right? Start making lists, like you said, throughout the day, throughout the week. What's really energizing me? What drains me? Like, I walk in the door at work and my energy plummets, and you start to notice it. And it's so interesting as, you know, individual, it sounds like that's really a way that people can begin to also tune into the energy around them.
It is. And you're very aware. And this is why you're so successful what you do. But think how many companies have you and I walked into or worked in or been in, and they don't have any of that awareness. It is
right.
just yeah. autopilot.
It's autopilot, or, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because this and this isn't working and that's not working and no one's changing anything and I'm stuck doing, you know, and so they live with this level of frustration that has to be incredibly unhealthy at a physical level.
It's not only unhealthy, but the body, what people don't realize, and I learned this because I was born very, very sick. And the first 32 years of my life was very, very, very ill, in and out of doctors, hospitals, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I lived in a lot of physical turmoil and dysfunction and pain. Mm-hmm. And when I was kind of like told to manage it, none of this stuff could go away. And my body was crashing again because I'd had 3 near-death experiences. I was crashing again. I was just like, let me leave. And I started to do the science research behind our bodies. And our bodies hear everything. It takes it on. So if you go to work and you don't speak up and say, okay, this is really bothering me, and you hold it in, or if you do and somebody barks at you, for instance, but you still have maybe pain or trauma from when you were yelled at when you were little, mm-hmm. that actually will compile in the physical system and years later shows up as actual disease in the body. It'll show up as physical issues in the body. And people don't realize that. They don't realize how they speak to someone or how much their body is. It looks like a computer. Mm-hmm. It really runs like that. And if you can start to, if people can even grasp that it works like a computer, if you have a virus on your cell phone, the first thing people do, they run to their provider.
Right.
But if you get a virus in your company or a virus in your own body or something shows up, give me a pill, maybe I'm better. Okay.
Right. Or if it's not too bad of a virus, I might tough it out, right? Because I need to get to work. I don't feel like dealing with this. So I'm just going to try to ignore this and hope it goes away. And I think a lot of what I see in a lot of organizations, I'm sure you do and have as well, is there's this, let's ignore this and hope it goes away.
And it doesn't. And then it might go away for that little bit, but it'll show up later. And then it shows up as a bigger sickness, or it shows up as more stress or anxiety. And then you're going to work and all the other people like that are now ping-ponging all that energy back and forth.
And that's a really fascinating, vision that I'm listening to you and just envisioning that, like, well, if we could map it out, right, it would be really interesting to see how that energy, right, people with a high vibration that day, people with lower, you know, and you'd be fascinating to see how people are actually impacting each other in ways they have absolutely no idea about.
They don't. And they come into work. And guess what? If you are having a high vibe, most people will go and lop onto the low vibe and then they feel like crap. And they don't realize that there's ways to train the body to go in and say, I'm going to stay in my high vibe and change you and make you have a better day. And most people go from the subconscious. So they just fall back into that low vibe. And now they've had a crappy day.
I've had a really interesting experience with a company I've been doing some really extensive, deep cultural change work with. And one of the things I've noticed over time is that people will say, I talked to so-and-so and they're having a really bad day, or this is happening, that's happening. And then sometimes the so-and-so, you know, will come talk to me. And I'll have this really different experience with them. And I started to realize it's because they were coming up to my vibrational level, which is higher. And it's been fascinating to notice that. You'll just see someone start to transform before your eyes and suddenly say, you know what, we probably could solve this. And they start opening to possibilities and potential. And it's been such an amazing laboratory.
Well, because then that's where they start getting transformation, because we spend so much time in our work environment.
Yeah.
When companies get this, they start changing their home environment of their employees naturally.
Yes, they absolutely do. They absolutely do.
And because if that energy will start to shift, and everything is energy, everything is connected. And we're not taught how to listen to our bodies when we're children. We're not taught how to listen and acknowledge all our feelings. And then we're not taught how to listen to the body to let go of the feelings, or to let go of information that is no longer serving us. Because as soon as you do, what happens, your whole paradigms are going to shift.
Yeah, that's such a fascinating topic. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive back into this idea of what happens when we shift our paradigms, why that's exhilarating, and why it can be so incredibly scary. This is Claudette Rowley on Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear from the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Ladies, are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Thank you. If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Hey everybody, this is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm here with my guest today, Tracy L. Clark, who is the founder of the TLC Community of Extraordinary Living. Tracy, we've been having such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, about, we sure have. Even on the break.
Even on break. Yeah, it just continues on. I know. It's cool, so awesome. But one of the things we had started to chat about right before the break was this idea of shifting paradigms and how incredibly challenging and sometimes scary that can be for folks. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. You know, when I start working with people or in groups, a lot of times because we do run, you know, most of our world is run on autopilot, and we come up in your family environment. And that is what we all believe to be true. There's a lot of science behind that. And that's our imprinting. We've now imprinted from our parents, our grandparents, and then we go into, you know, getting your jobs and your school, and we all follow these little systems, basically systems. And then you have your children, then you get married, you know, you do all those systems. So what happens is you get into this job, and most people, because we're changing so much, you know, they're not in that same profession for 40 years. Some might stay in it, but a lot of people change around professions. So we have this idea that this is how life is. And so when you actually start to expand your awareness and say, I'm not really that happy. I'm not getting joy out of my work. I'm not getting joy out of my relationships. You start to look at what needs to be changed, usually within you. It's never about the other person. It's about you. And as you start to change things about you, you start to realize to create a new paradigm, to shift, you have to make changes. And it might be letting go of a job or letting go of a relationship. And to do that, that's not easy because you have to have the awareness. Then you start doing it, and then you will have all the people around you terrified that you're changing. So you can't change that job. What are you going to do? How are you going to pay your bills? Or you can't leave that relationship. They give you financial security. So they start projecting all their opinions around you, mm-hmm. and the body locks up. Then the body gets fear. And then all of a sudden you're trying to change and you realize all the things you've learned, a lot of them are usually not true. Because now you're shifting into what your truth is, not what society told you truth was. That's scary.
And it's so interesting too, because just how much courage it can take. You said, when you have people projecting onto you, right? What are you going to do? How are you going to live? What's going to happen to you? It's almost like they really are talking about your survival sometimes.
They are. And it creates a lot of fear. Like I know walking through so many own changes, like when I had to step out of, I always believe you work with the medical system, but I had hit the end. I hit the end of where I could go. I knew my marriage had hit the end. I knew I needed to look at something different. And when I started to look at the science behind energy work and the body and how it works. That was my first road because I was pretty much an atheist at that point. And then when I started to look at spirituality and ministry and see how it all combines, people would say to me, "You're crazy. What are you doing? That's dumb." And I'm like, I've exhausted everything that I could in the medical system. I believe I can work with them, but we could work together in a different way. And that rattled people's worlds. And then when my body started to repair, I had lost friends. My family was, I was absolutely woo-woo. And so I stopped sharing with people what I was doing. And I said, what is it different by looking, it's woo-woo to look at my body and say, okay, I got to change my diet, or I don't feel good in this. It's making me sick. Like within, I had diverticulitis, irritable bowel, and ulcers at the age of 5. And my,
oh my gosh,
surroundings of people were dysfunctional. Lots of anger, lots of dysfunction, everything. Within literally 6 months of leaving my abusive marriage, I did some energy work. I looked at where all those patterns were. I shifted it out of my body. I have never, that was like over 16 years ago, I've never had another attack. My ulcers went away. My diverticulitis went away. My irritable bowel. And my doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but please keep doing it. You don't have any of this. Where the diagnosis usually is, just manage it. Right? Manage it.
Right. We don't know what to do about it. So just manage it.
So now imagine taking that into all these areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary because you got to step out of the realms of where most of the people around you are living, and they're there to serve you. They're there to teach you something. But to change the paradigm, you have to be willing to do something different. And that's what's scary if all your friends or all your family don't want to do something different, or your company's like, I'm adamant we do it this way. Like I was saying about the one I sold, I'm adamant to do it this way, yet their revenue's not very strong. Well, you're not willing to change, but you can't grow your revenue when I'm giving you simple formulas that could grow your revenue very quickly because I do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it scares them. It's no. And that's the thing people have to get over is their fear of now, because most people want to please the people around them and they're terrified. What if I lose my relationship? Might happen. What if I have to lose my job? Might happen. But it's all for the better.
It's all for the better. And it's also, you know, when you were talking about the story of selling your company when you were 26 and how, like you said, the buyer company wasn't interested in how you were successful.
No.
Well, yeah, because it reminds me of sunk costs, right? So if we adopt the way you're doing it, then we have to admit we weren't doing it as well as we could have been, right?
Oh, you were bang on, because that's what they said. And oh, to implement this and that. I'm like, because I treated my employees very, very well. And they're like, that's expensive. And I'm like, yeah, but look at the revenue it returns me. And I have no employee turnover.
Right. Which is incredibly expensive. Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. It's so big. And so it is. It's a fear of having to change, or a fear that someone may say, maybe I'm not doing something as good as I could be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's so scary.
It is scary. So how do we handle that? You know, we're faced with knowing that, for example, it's imperative that we change a job or leave a marriage or transition our career into something else. Like our soul's telling us, our body's telling us, right? We just know it. How do we gather the courage to make those changes? What have you seen?
Yeah, you know what I usually say to people, one is first, the list we talked about earlier, is look at your surroundings. Really start to get in tune with the body first. Like, what is it that you know? Usually everybody has a top list of what needs to be changed, right? So if it's your job, you're like, I'm so unhappy here. And jobs make people sick all the time. Like the wrong work environment, it's like I always say people kill people all the time. And they say, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I was dying again in my marriage, but when I get out and I look at where the belief patterns were, look what happens. When I left corporate, I was starting to have the same thing show up in my body again. I'm like, okay, this is done, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't healthy. And so you start to look at first, you can't do it all at once. I think that's the first thing people have to understand. So if you're in dysfunctional marriage and work and family, you got to kind of see what's the easiest area to first look at. And it's really about you have to start to also build a foundation before you jump out of that job. Because if you jump out of the job, you don't have the money, you're going to be afraid, you're going to have anxiety. So I always say to people, start to look at where can you build a strong foundation to first empower yourself again. Are you having insecurities? Are you having fears? Are you having doubts? Where do they come from? Usually they've been around for a lot of needing to be accepted and I would need to provide. They always have a story behind it. So I said, you start to build on your inner self and your inner confidence, your feelings of what you are in the environment. And then you've got to look at what's the easiest thing I can start to change first? What is the easiest one? I wouldn't recommend doing like, I did it all at once, basically, like in a lot and did it again. And, but I'm a little different that way. I'm like, I'm just going to do this and I know I'm going to be okay. I had brought a lot of that in. And then if it's your career, like really sitting there and saying, okay, in truth. And if you ask yourself that word, in truth, what really is expansive to me? What really makes me feel happy? What makes me feel really good? So if they want to maybe go into business for themselves, that's fine. But also look at, okay, you may want to just step it. So I say to my clients, I'm like, just step it. Like, still do your job. We can align you to make the job a little better. Take your energy to be a little bit more positive in there to help the people around you while we're building your business. Because if people stop to build their business, if they don't have the cash flow, you know what happens? They panic, they overwork, and then things get blocked, right?
Yeah.
So I say, you got to look at it that way and do it in baby steps. So if it's your relationship, you don't need to just leave tomorrow and say, I had an epiphany that you're killing me. I need to leave. What I did was I actually had the epiphany. I needed to go because of all this stuff that unfolded and finally was able. And I started to build a plan. So for me, I needed to have undercover cops because of my situation. So I got them in order. I needed to figure out where I was living. And I needed, and as I was doing it, my body started to feel lighter. It started to feel better. And this weight felt like it was coming. So I started to really listen to what my body was actually directing me. And so when I did it, I was actually very calm. There wasn't a lot of fighting. I had the awareness of how to do it. So it actually took me 2 years to put on all the building. And people are like, you didn't just leave. And I said, well, no, because that's what a lot of people do is they make rash decisions. They leave right away and they're not listening in truth. How does my body feel about this? In truth, how does my body feel about this? If you can ask yourself that question, you'll get a very different response and you'll have a very different awareness than if you just go, okay, I'm going to just do that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story and your personal story, because I think we can extrapolate all the ideas and concepts you just shared to almost anything we're doing, right? Any really big change we're making, step it out, plan it, really listen to yourself, listen to your body. I listen to your intuition, right? What's next? Yeah. What's next? What's next?
Yeah. And feel it. And what I always say to people, if you want to know some truths about what's going on with people and you feel like I'm not getting all the answers, so I don't feel I can make a choice. Next time you talk to them, just say, well, what's the truth about that? People don't talk like that, but it jars the body, right? And then the body goes, what? And there's also a big component with change is people don't spend enough time nurturing themselves. And it might be an empowering themselves. So it might be yoga, or it might be a bath, or it might be a walk. There's no right or wrong way. But really doing a little bit of the self-care is so important. But again, to connect to body, you're there for a reason. Like I got in that relationship for a reason. And it served me. And it was my biggest teacher. I wouldn't be here today and doing what I'm able to do. So if you can start to look at why are you in these situations? How did they serve you?
How do they serve us? Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, this is a really interesting question. How are the situations we're in service, which includes the organizational culture we're in, and also really the power of words, the words we use with ourselves and the words we use with other people. This is Claudette Rowley on Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your favorite transformation talk radio shows are now on Spotify. What? Simply search out your favorite host or show by name, tap the subscribe button, and boom. With over 150 million active monthly users on Spotify, Transformation Talk Radio is thrilled to expand our reach so you never have to miss an episode. Well, what the heck are you waiting for? Log into Spotify and subscribe now.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Huff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright, emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Everybody, this is Claudette Rowley. We are back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm here with my guest today, Tracy Clark, who is the founder of the TLC Community of Extraordinary Living. Tracy, before I forget, for listeners who really want to hear more about you and your work and learn more, what are the best ways for them to find you and to find out more about you?
TracyLClark.com. Mm-hmm. And on there is all my social media. So it's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And then they can find me on my YouTube and Instagram. And I'm always posting tips on how to listen to the body, how to listen to your environment. And so it's a packed, filled place. If you hop on the website, it's the easiest place to go.
Oh, great. Thanks for sharing that. So, and yeah, Tracy does have tons of resources. And I've looked on her site, which is really great. Something for everybody. And, you know, this theme throughout our show today about really listening to our bodies and listening to the environment around us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just striking me how if, you know, everyone or almost everyone learned how to do it, because as you've mentioned, most of us aren't taught to do it, but really learned how to do it, that it would be fascinating to see just what transformed, right, in organizations and people's personal lives. It's a pretty monumental thing.
It's huge. Yeah. And, you know, when I teach children, it's night and day. Like when I teach, because here's the thing is everything is connected. You can't leave your personal, it goes to your work. Your work comes home. Like everything's connected, right? And even though when people say, oh, leave your work at work, like really how many people do that?
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you have a bad thing going on with a colleague or you're frustrated at your job or whatever, you can. And just say maybe if you have bad things going on at home, it's very hard to bring to work. And you don't want to bring office gossip and all that. But the thing is, your body really does work like a beautiful, the way I say computer is because it's easy for people to visualize. And I always say you have a heart drive, not a hard drive. So frequencies that we draw into our body come from our heart. But if you look at the whole body, that's so fascinating, has a ton of information to always tell us. And most people, so the heart drive, like you can't take out a sliver of your heart and still function. you can get a heart replacement, you can get some surgery on the heart, but look at how many organs in your body you can actually operate on or take out, and your body still functions, right?
Yeah.
But every organ has a reason to be there. That's why you were born, but it also tells us what's going on with our body. And when people start to really, like, when think about when you're little and you have a bad feeling or you know not to go somewhere, and people are like, well, that's just silly, or don't say that, or, and they discount it. We view our bodies as almost something separate from us, mm-hmm. even though we're in them every day. And you can't get away from your body.
No, you're pretty much stuck with it, right?
You came in with it.
Yeah.
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 So when you start to look at that concept, if we really were taught to tune in to what our bodies were telling us, when you get an ache or a pain, look at even if you go to work and somebody is mad at you, look at how much people don't eat their lunch.
True.
They don't want to eat, or they feel sick. They're like, I'm not going to eat now. That was a bad meeting.
You know, I was talking with someone yesterday at a client, and she said to me, I needed to talk to you because for the last few weeks, every morning, you know, as I drive to work, I just want to throw up.
Yep.
Right. And it's because of this incredible frustration she's experiencing. Mm-hmm. That's coming up for me as you're sharing, right? That her body is so clearly telling her that she literally, you know, she can't stomach this situation.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, your stomach is where you process life. People don't know that. So where your stomach is, it's where you're trying to process your life issues. So now look at how many people have stomach problems. It's huge.
Oh, yeah.
So as one center, so when she goes to work, she's already stressed. She's anxious because she knows the environment is not serving her.
Right.
But she keeps having to go because that's your work, right? So then she's got to start to ask, okay, so do I stay and try to figure out how I function differently in this reality, or do I find a new job that serves me?
Right. Well, in this case, she told me what was going on. And so we went and started fixing the situation, repairing the situation, healing the situation.
But she's blessed because you're there, but there's not many of you.
There's not many of me. Yes, exactly.
They get this perspective. You are so energetically in tune. You get that perspective. So she's so blessed that you were there.
Thanks. I'm glad I was, because I had no idea that she was enduring what she was enduring. I didn't know the level of stress or frustration.
And because you're a safe energy, because you go into places in your safety, the people that get to enjoy you have you there, and they can open up. But imagine if she didn't have you there.
She probably would be leaving the job in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Definitely. She said, I'm actually considering whether I should just leave this job because it's too, I don't want to live like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where we're coming more into alignment. When people talk about coming into alignment, it's like, how are these things serving us? And we were saying that before, that a lot of people say, well, that happened to me. And I'm like, no, it happened for you. So if you start to look, this is a really cool exercise I say to people in the whole day. It's hard for people to stay conscious a whole day. It just is. It's very difficult. They're like, what? I have to be really present and aware. I say try for a day. If you can get through half a day, you are golden, and keep trying. But if you went out through your whole day and said, how did this serve me? Mm-hmm. How did that person who cut me off on my way to work today serve me? Maybe it just gave you a little extra time to be with yourself. Maybe it saved you from an accident. Right?
Yeah, it is. I love that reframe, right? This happened for me.
Yeah, it happened for me. So maybe that boss that was a jerk that hit you in the gut every day you went in, maybe they're serving you to teach you how to speak up.
Right. Right. Serving me how to speak up. Serving me, you know, it's interesting. I have a very expressive body. That's a kind way of putting it. In terms of my muscular skeletal system.
Yeah.
And so I've had this, you know, if something's not right emotionally, I feel it in some muscle, you know, some usually shoulders, upper back, jaw, you know, the usual suspects, but other places too. And although I don't enjoy it, I have learned to, like you were saying, use it as a message that something needs my attention. And I'm fortunate it hasn't turned into any other disease or anything, but it's a message of something, it's an emotion I need to process, or there's something I need to, usually it's something I need to do, you know, it's something I need to say.
And that's the key right there, what you hit on. So you're not, it won't turn into anything else because you're recognizing it. Yeah. You're saying my body's reacting this way. Is it something I need to process, or what do I need to be more aware of?
Right. Right.
So
exactly.
You're moving the energy right there. You're starting to have the awareness, because those things don't turn into anything. It would be if you never paid attention. So I have energies that I deal with people that aren't pleasant, and my heart starts to race every time they're, yeah. So if I'm out somewhere and I'm beside it and I look, I'm like, oh, I see that. Okay. It will race. At first I was like, oh my gosh, am I getting, like before I knew a long time ago that that's what was going on. My mother had supraventricular tachycardia, and her story would always be, one of you are going to get it, and because you've had all my ailments, you're going to get it. I'm like, but I got rid of all those ailments, so I don't have them anymore. And so I had to put my boundaries up with her. So, but that was a thought that went through. And then I realized, oh, when I'm around these kind of energies, my heart will do that. As soon as I deal with it, it stops. It just goes away. So you're being so in tune. So how many people don't even realize their bodies are even giving them signals like that?
Well, and I think it's true. And it's, you know, for me, it was really maybe 20 years ago. And it's because I was in a lot of physical pain.
Yeah.
So I started to look, right? I've been to the chiropractor, I've been to the massage therapist, I've done this, done that. But I really started to look at what were the other things that, you know, spiritually speaking or other messages, because it's a little bit similar to yours in the sense that there was nothing else to actually do.
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't going to continue to live that way. So,
no, and you can't.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing people forget is every one of us have that power and ability. And people think it's some kind of super magical power. I'm like, no, it's not. You just have to become more aware of what your body's telling you and have a few tools to really like let that go, to create a little space in your environment that will allow you to look at it differently. And that's what I really spend time teaching people and showing them. You know, they'll say, I have this pain. And I'm like, okay, you had all this stuff happen when you're a child and now you're 65. So no wonder you have that pain. You never let it go. No, I just swallowed it. I just kept it inside. And people do that in their work environments all the time. I swallowed it. I didn't speak up.
I didn't want to make waves. I didn't want someone to be upset with me. I didn't want, my manager, right, or the leader to think less of me. And so those are all these stories. These are the stories I've heard people tell themselves, like you said, about why they don't speak up, which, you know, power, communication. And I know this is something that I've heard when I was on your show. I heard you mention the power of our word choice.
Huge.
Right. It's huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's simple. People don't know how to talk to each other or the bodies. And when I teach people how to communicate, one, they usually say too much.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, like that saying you heard me say earlier, we both say it, but it's like, what do you require versus what's wrong with you? Well, that's dumb. How come you're doing that? Very different to the body. And if you can be aware of your surroundings, a lot of times people go into projection, like they're projecting their insecurities or they're projecting their points of view, and they're pushing these loud words into people when they could say less, be more concise, and be very respectful to that other person's energetic body.
It's, it's something I call getting to the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the bottom line?
It's
going through all the, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of the mess, right? Of the projections and the assumptions and all this and all that, that really get in the way of communicating effectively and get to the heart of what someone really wants. What is it that you need to communicate to this other person? How can you say it simply, concisely, directly, kindly, and say it? Yeah. And that really changes. That changes so much. It really, really does.
See, we're not even taught how to communicate in respect from children, right? You're taught maybe if your environment is yelling or loud or one parent takes over and the other doesn't. So we're not even taught proper communication. And then you go into your work environment and all you see, like, let's look at our world. Like they say, don't bully and don't do this. But then what's happening? Politics, they bully all the time. So they see that, right? Or we might go into school environments and then they're like, oh, be kind. Yet all they witness is bullying because they're not taught. At a very young age, we're not taught how to speak respectfully to the body, but still be able to have a strong opinion, still be able to be in your truth, and still be able to communicate. And if you could, people could start to see the energy that goes into people when they communicate very harshly. I'm not saying you're not going to have an argument or a bad day. That's just kind of normal. But yeah. If it's all the time or that's your general personality, there's a big issue because literally when people start getting really angry in somebody's field, it is verbally, it's no different than if I take, you know, some kind of a hammer and start hitting you. It's the same energy and it's going into the body like that. So the energetic body starts to really get bruised. That's why even when they say like mental abuse is worse than physical, right? And the reason energetically it's being pushed and forced into the body, then the mental space picks it up, and now the brain is going to do all these things to keep you safe. So look at that in your environments.
Thank you for that. And one question, so that just brought up an interesting question for me when you were talking about anger as an example. Mm-hmm. So in your experience, I mean, is there a time when anger is actually healthy as a response?
Yeah, there is. You know what? Yeah. And sometimes there is. And sometimes if you get to that point, you know, if someone's not listening or sometimes you have to just assert, but there's also a space of, you know what? Like, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I need you to stop and just listen to me. And if you can't, I am going to leave the room and I will come back. Or you let me know when you can. And it's amazing how many people say they do that. And wow. Things start to turn around very
because the way you just phrased it, right? The words you chose were so incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
There was a request. This is what I need you to do. You asked if the person didn't stop what they were doing, you were going to leave the room, right? So it had a whole series of action. That's what I heard of actions in it.
Yeah.
And a request. And
so you got to follow through with it, you know, so you leave.
Yeah.
And either that person's going to say, okay, stop. I'll listen to what you have to say. And usually people will get quite heated when it's there. It's like, you can call me in 2 days. I don't care, but I'm not having this kind of conversation. And that's where people will get upset. And then quite often, if they phrase it that way, they do tell, like, I have a lot of people like, wow, I'm finally actually getting response. And now I don't have to get as mad.
Right. Right.
But usually when the body starts to get angry, it's because it doesn't feel heard or seen.
Yeah, it doesn't feel hurt. Yeah, I think that's such an important point for people to, you know, all of us to recognize and remember.
Yeah.
That, you know, anger is about not feeling seen or heard. And, you know, I know for me, at least, it's also about that I need to say something, right? There's a truth that needs to be told.
Yeah.
And that's for me. But I also think, you know, for all of us, emotions can mean different things.
Very much. But there's a lot of, like, and it's very important, like anger that is suppressed in the body for years and years and years, and they've done a lot of research on this, comes out in things like arthritis or people's blood that literally they have, you know, high blood pressure because their blood is literally boiling and it's usually seated anger of either not being able to express, not feeling heard. And it's, those are the emotional components that get stuck. And when people start to look at that, they're like, yeah, you know what? I had all of that trauma at my work, or I had all that trauma at home. And every time I tried to say something, I just couldn't. I got so mad. I'm like, yeah, it's still in your body.
It's still in your body. Yeah. And that's, I know. And it's such an incredibly important point, I think, for, you know, all of us, any of us are having physical pain to really, even if it's something, you know, fairly manageable, to look at that, like you're saying.
A lot of times those physical pains go way back. When they finally surface, it's because the emotion behind it has not been looked at. So the body goes, all right, you're not paying attention. Now I'm going to give you something to pay attention to.
I had a situation a couple of years ago like that. My left shoulder froze, and which is totally fine now. I have 100% mobility back. in full strength. And it ended up being, it was partly actually a movement issue, incorrect movement. But when I started working with someone who is an amazing, talented energy worker and had originally been a physical therapist, so she was a great, we found that there was, and we were doing some different guided visualizations and things, and we found that a lot of, other than the movement, the muscular tension was around unprocessed grief from a certain point of my life that at the time I literally just like couldn't, I was a single parent. Like I literally didn't have time to grieve, you know, and it got stuck and it was actually really pretty easy with her help to move it out once it, you know, once it was recognized, but it was a really fascinating experience.
Yeah, because it does. And it sits in the body. Like I was just, you had this quick story. I was visiting my father about a month ago, and he, when I went in, he couldn't move his arm, and he had gone through some chemo treatments. He had gotten prostate cancer, and they said, "Oh, it's going to spread. We can't control it." I'm like, "Let's control it and get it out." So when he went in, they were like, "Wow, you know what? It didn't spread. This is crazy. This is miraculous." I'm like, "Whatever, just get it out." So they take it out, but he still went through the after treatments. He's older, and I said, "No, just do them. That's fine." So he couldn't move his shoulder, and I said, "Dad, you know, you keep everything inside. Your body's in trauma and shock from all the radiation and the chemo," because my dad had never been sick a day in his life, never been sick. So he, even being in the hospital, he said, "If this is what it's like, just shoot me now." Like that was his, right?
Like, poor guy.
Yeah. So I, like, similar to what you're saying, I pulled out the energy and I'm like, "I need you to now do these exercises for me." And I said, "Watch, you will have your mobility back within probably 3 days. So we did it. I moved all that trauma, like you're saying, out it goes. He does the exercise. He emailed me with under 24 hours and said, "Thank you, honey. I'm 90% better today."
Oh, wow.
He couldn't move. I had to help him when I first got the plane, put on his coat. He couldn't move his arm. He had no mobility. And the doctor's like, "Well, it'll come back. I don't know. It's just your nerves." I'm like, "Okay, Dad, why didn't you call me?" "Oh, you're busy." You know, you hear that. But again, like what you're saying is, the body, when it has a physical issue, there's emotional trauma somewhere in the body from somewhere that got stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. I love the story about your dad, you know, and how sometimes I think to myself, I wish more people knew about this. I wish more people knew about you, right? In the kind of work you do, that there are ways to heal ourselves. There are ways to understand our bodies, right? And like you said, how we feel in them, how we understand and feel in our environments. There's all these tools available and not enough people know about it.
They don't. And the thing is, they don't have to be hooey wooey. And they don't
have to
meditate for hours. I love to give practical tools that you can do when you're on the fly and give you the awareness. And once we shift that energy through, they're like, "Wow." I have a big, big group right now. I do 90 days intensive. I had a woman in military, PTSD, absolutely thinking I'm doing okay, but all this stuff in her life wasn't materializing. She couldn't get anything flowing, all this, a beautiful soul, seen a lot, you can imagine, right? Spent a lot of time in Afghanistan. She was a sergeant. And she came back to me and she said, "Okay, Tracy, I'm doing this program. I got to clean this out because I'm trying to do all this kind of, I call it fluff, spiritual fluff, and I'm not getting anywhere." And I said, "No, because you got to get real. You have so much trauma locked in the body." "No, no, no. I got rid of that." I'm like, "Really?" Literally, we're 4 weeks into the program. We get 5 hours a week. I'll just tell you, she emailed me this morning. She said, "Oh my God, I have all this trauma coming out." I said, "Good. You ready to deal with it now?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Good. We'll get rid of it out of your body." She goes, "I actually feel lighter just seeing that it's there. I was not even being told to look at it."
Wow. I got chills.
Yeah. Her body's in serious pain because you can imagine the amount of crap she'd seen from being overseas.
Right. Because I would imagine too, when you're in that kind of a situation, you don't have much time to process anything emotionally or physically, right? So you're just holding it, holding it, holding it.
Yeah. And she's on disability trauma because of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So this show has flown. And so we're coming close to the end, flown in a great way. What are some, you know, a couple key things that you'd really love to leave listeners with today, Tracy?
One of the things I'd like them to understand is you are in charge of your body. You mm-hmm. are totally in charge, and to become empowered to look at your environment different. Remember, no one defines you, only you define yourself. And if you start to learn some of the tools, the simple tools, and you get brave and learn to walk through fear and doubt, you can literally transform your entire world to live. I say reclaim that life you know is there. But it takes the first step is being aware. Be aware of your environment.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. This is, I love this perspective of being aware of your environment, being aware of your body and how you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that would transform any organization if everyone did it, right? It's huge. It's really huge.
Oh, huge. And it will go from person to person to person. And because we're all connected, you will see the amount of transformation. And everyone can do it. Everyone. They just have to be willing to not be afraid to change their paradigms.
Yeah, absolutely. Not be afraid to change paradigms. Huge. So two big messages today, right? Don't be afraid to change your paradigms. You can do it. You can work through it and have the courage and really reclaim your body and be in charge of it and feel it. So Tracy, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
What a blast. Yeah. Always go so quick.
they do. And listeners, thank you for being here. As always, we had a great time, really a fascinating conversation. We're here the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern. So have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.